Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we bring Sunday home. Join us as we dive deeper into First Baptist's weekly sermons, discuss practical applications, and answer your questions.
Hello and welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm Jordan Upton, and with me as always is Pastor Jeff Reynolds. Jeff, how are you doing and where in the world are you?
I am doing great, Jordan, and I am right now sitting on the balcony of my hotel room in Kalambaka, Greece, right under the cliffs of Meteora, where there are several monasteries that we will be visiting tomorrow. And if you're a James Bond fan, you might have seen a movie where James Bond went to one of these monasteries on Meteora, and I think they say he jumped off the cliff in some daredevil sort of a thing. But it is breathtaking here. Absolutely breathtaking. We got off our cruise ship this morning. We have been cruising the Aegean Sea, going from island to island and location to location, seeing where God used faithful followers of Christ to take the gospel 2,000 years ago. And it is a phenomenal experience. So I am literally on the other side of the world from you all, and so thankful for the miracle of modern technology that allows us to still visit like this for our podcast.
Amen. It looks like the movie that you're referencing from James Bond is For Your Eyes Only, but as it turns out, because you're showing it to me and you know you're there with your tour guide, it's not just for your eyes only.
It is not indeed. And I'm going to tell you, this is a charming place. I've never been to this part of the world, and it is really something.
So we're just going to check in with you. What's been going on? Have you learned any lessons? What sites have you seen?
So we got here last Tuesday, so nearly a week ago, and that seems like that can't be true. Although it seems like when we first got here was so far away from where we are now. It has just been such a packed trip. Now, I'll tell you, this is a little bit different from visiting the Holy Land, because when you're in the Holy Land, everywhere you go is a special site. And these sites are, frankly, fewer and further between. And so you kind of savor a site and then you travel to the next site. So on the day that we arrived, of course, we came to Athens and we kept ourselves busy, walked down to the Plaka, which is the central shopping center and kind of square of the city, and got to enjoy some really great Greek food and got to see some traditional Greek dancing and things of that nature. And then the next morning we got up and we went over to Corinth. And I had actually been to Corinth and to Athens before, but it's still breathtaking to go into these ancient cities that that were used by God. And Corinth, we all know Corinth has a terrible reputation. When you go to Corinth, there's the Acro-Corinth, this huge mountain that just juts up out of the middle of nowhere, it seems. And on top of the Acro-Corinth is the temple to Aphrodite, where there were 1,000 temple prostitutes who would come down into the city wearing sandals that left an imprint in the dust that said, "Follow me." And you could, if you were a sailor coming into the port of Corinth, there off the Aegean Sea, for a nominal fee, you could climb the mountain and quote unquote worship the goddess Aphrodite with one of these prostitutes. And so it was a tough place. Actually, when Paul was there, it is thought that he took a Nazarite vow so that he could clearly differentiate himself from those who were indulging in the passions of the flesh. But he was there for at least 18 months. And it was such a difficult assignment that God actually gave him a vision. The Lord spoke to him and said, "I have many people in this city. Stay here. You are safe. Preach the gospel." And I'm paraphrasing that, but that's exactly what he did. We went over to Athens after that, which is kind of backwards. Paul went to Athens first and then to Corinth. We got to go to Mars Hill, to the Areopagus, where the Apostle Paul stood and made a case for the Christian faith among some of the wisest philosophers the world has ever known. And what's interesting is when you're standing on Mars Hill, you look up and you see the Acropolis, with the Parthenon and the temple to Athena Nike and the Erechtheion and all the other temples that are up there. And it's just imposing. And then you look down to your left and there's the Agora, which is the marketplace. It's actually, that word Agora is where we get the root for agoraphobia, the fear of being in crowds. Well, that's where it comes from. The agora was a crowded place. And so you are there and it had to be so daunting. And yet Paul, there by himself, he didn't have any of his friends with him. He presented Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. It was very interesting. They didn't know what he was talking about. They called him a seed picker and a babbler. And they said, he's talking about foreign gods, because he was talking about Jesus and he was talking about Jesus being resurrected. So what's interesting, the Greek word for resurrection is Anastasis. And so some people believe they thought he was talking about a goddess named Anastasia, but he wasn't. He was talking about the centrality of the resurrection of Jesus. So those were the first couple of days. And then we went out and got on a cruise ship. And we started going from island to island, seeing the places where the Apostle Paul carried the gospel, and seeing a couple places where he didn't. But when you're that close, you got to go. So we went, my goodness, I can't even remember. We've seen so many places. I know we went to Mykonos, which was just beautiful. It's just one of those picturesque Greek islands that you go to. It was made famous by Aristotle Onassis, and a bunch of celebrities go there now. And so we got to eat dinner there and just kind of see some of the sights and enjoy that. We went to Crete, got to go to Crete, and I got to see yesterday the Church of St. Titus, the first bishop of Crete. And we know that Titus was one of Paul's disciples, whom he left at Crete. We don't have an account of Paul's time on Crete, but we do in Paul's letter to Titus have the account that Paul left Titus at Crete to establish the church, to appoint elders and all those sorts of things. And so they actually have a relic there at the Church of St. Titus. They have Titus's skull, but we were there on Sunday morning, and so we did not get to see Titus's skull because they were in the middle of a worship service. But we did go in and get to experience part of that worship service, which was really, really neat. We also went yesterday to Santorini, which is, again, not of great biblical significance, but we did get to see that island, which is known as the Black Pearl of the Aegean. And you know, it's just gorgeous, and the blue domes on the white buildings, and had dinner last night with a view that is just utterly breathtaking. But one of the coolest places we went, I've now been to Asia. We went to Turkey. We went to Asia Minor, and we visited Ephesus. And I'm going to tell you, you know, a lot of Roman cities, and Ephesus was a Roman city, they have a lot of the same features. You know, they'll have a central walkway. They'll have streets that are intersect at 90 degrees. They'll have the stadium. I mean, the stadium at Ephesus holds 25,000 people. I mean, they estimate that based on that, that there were 250,000 people living in Ephesus at the time when Paul was there, when he dropped off Aquila and Priscilla there, when Timothy was there leading the church at Ephesus. But to see, it's just a different environment. I mean, I was picturing Beit She'an. So if you've ever been to the Holy Land and you've been to Beit She'an, you know what that kind of looks like, all white marble and just all very beautiful. And it wasn't that. First of all, Turkey is a lot greener than I thought it was. It is lush. It is beautiful. It's very much, I mean, they have maple trees there that are beautiful. That, I mean, it's just, it's really something. But the marble there is a darker color at Ephesus. And so going through there and just being in that place that was so influential. I mean, you look up at the stadium, and this is likely where the silversmith riled up the crowd into chanting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," because Paul had said that gods that were made by human hands were not gods. And that made the silversmiths really upset, because they made a really good living off of selling gods. And now, isn't that funny? We serve a God who is not bound by time or space, and yet they're making a good living off of selling gods that they form with their own hands. And they got mad when Paul said, "Those are not gods. Those are just creations of your craftsmen." So just phenomenal. Now, I will tell you, it poured on us. The rainy season is almost over, but we got the last of it, man. And and so we will always remember just getting soaked at Ephesus. But it was great. Got to enjoy Turkish coffee. Got to see nearby a demonstration of how they make Turkish handmade rugs. I mean, it's just really something. So that's really neat. And then again, we are on the mainland again. We've driven up about 6 hours today, and we are going to the monasteries at Meteora tomorrow, and then we're going to make our way to Thessaloniki, which is the modern day pronunciation of Thessalonica. Thessaloniki is the second largest city in Greece, second to Athens, and obviously we know from Acts chapter 17 that the Apostle Paul was there. We know that two of his earliest letters were 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and so we have those accounts, and so it's going to be really neat. And we're heading over to Philippi, and I'm so excited to get to go to Philippi. I've always been fascinated by the book of Philippians, the letter to the church at Philippi, fascinated by what happened in Lydia's life there. We're going to go to the site where Lydia was thought to have been baptized. And man, the conversion of the Philippian jailer in that space. I'm so excited about going to Philippi. Oh, I left out Patmos. We've been to Patmos. I have gone into the cave where the Apostle John received the revelation that is the last book of the Bible. And of course, there's a church built on top of it, a Greek Orthodox church built on top of it. But got to go in there, and my goodness, I could have just stayed there. Now, there's a monastery on top of a mountain there on Patmos, but I could have just stayed in that cave and just considered, you know, John's disciple Prochorus, who was his scribe, what that must have been like to have had that heavenly vision and to have written it down for us to know. So I can't believe I left out Patmos. But yeah, so that's where we are right now. And then, of course, after several more days in Greece, we will, Lord willing, end our time in this part of the world by flying over to Rome and spending 3 days in Rome. That was actually my request. We added that on to the trip at my request, and Sherry Clark, who is our phenomenal travel agent, was kind enough to work that out. Because since Paul ended at Rome, I wanted us to end at Rome. And not only did Paul end at Rome, but we also know that Peter ended at Rome. And obviously there's a great deal of history and a lot of things to see there. So very excited about that.
That's incredible. Just talking to you and hearing all of those stories and your descriptions of the locations, I was struck by how different the locations and the cultures were that were there. Even though they were all in relatively close proximity, it sounds like they're very different places that required very different approaches from Paul.
Well, it really did. And so we know that Paul's kind of way of doing things was to find a synagogue and go to a synagogue and reason first with the Jews. And then often, as happened in Corinth, for example, the Jews would kick him out. You know, that some would believe and some would kick him out. And so then he would go to the Gentiles. And in Athens, however, you know, he's what we have recorded. We know he went to the synagogue, but we know that he spent a lot of time there among the Gentiles. And then at Philippi, they didn't have a synagogue. So he found the God-fearers down by the river praying on the Lord, on the Sabbath day. And so he couldn't go into a synagogue. So he had to be very flexible. He had to be very flexible, and he had to adapt to whatever the culture was. Because I'm going to tell you, the cultures are very different. You know, a Greek culture and a culture in Asia Minor are not the same thing. And just going from space to space, the cultures on various islands aren't even the same. And so, you know, yeah, they're close, but I mean, we're in a big diesel-powered cruise ship going from island to island. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in a sailboat going from island to island. And then, of course, coming down around Crete, and we think about Paul and his companions as he was on his way to Rome, sailed under the lee of Crete to find some shelter, and then were shipwrecked on the island of Malta. We have not been to Malta, thankfully. We were not shipwrecked at Malta or anywhere else for that matter. But, you know, Paul's life was not easy once he accepted the calling of God to be the mouthpiece to the Gentiles and to carry the gospel into Asia Minor, to carry the gospel into Europe. It certainly wasn't easy. It was not the life that he had to have been envisioning as he pictured perhaps being a member of the Sanhedrin and being very firmly settled there in and around Jerusalem. It was a vastly different life with a bunch of hardships that he otherwise would not have had. And yet, had he not embraced that calling and embraced those hardships, he would not have been the instrument in the Redeemer's hands to carry the gospel to those places. Now, I believe the gospel would have gotten there, but it would have been through a way different from Paul. You know, it's kind of like what Mordecai said to Esther. You know, God's going to do his thing, but if you're not obedient in this moment, then he's not going to do it through you. But it could be, as he said, that you have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I think that's a great reminder to us, particularly when we are facing difficult moments and we may be saying, God, where are you? And why are we going through this? Have I taken a wrong turn? And perhaps like Mordecai to Esther, or probably like Paul had to say to some of his traveling companions at times, and maybe even they had to remind him too, you know, it could be that you've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this and for such a task as this. And so we can be in very difficult circumstances and be squarely where God wants us to be.
Amen. Man, that is, Jeff, there's so many incredible insights that you just shared. I don't even know where, you know, I don't even know what to start with, just knowing that you might have been here for such time as this, and just knowing to be flexible when talking to other people who might have a completely different culture, just, you know, a hop, a skip, and a jump from you. It just so many lessons, but we know that your time is limited, and we really appreciate you checking in with us and giving us an update. And can you pray us out for today?
Well, let me say this before we pray. The term that came to my mind in talking and thinking about going to the Holy Land or coming in the footsteps of Paul is that these are immersive discipleship experiences, and they really are. So this is different from a mission trip. You know, we're coming to learn and to grow, still interacting with people along the way, no doubt. But this is an opportunity when you're in these places. First of all, you never see it. This, I will never read the book of Ephesians the same again. I will never read the book of Acts the same again. Philippi or Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Titus. Even, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think much about Titus. You know, there's some great truths there. But Titus is one of the pastoral epistles that kind of, you know, I don't know, we don't think about it among the highlights of Paul's letters. And yet now, having been to Crete, having been to the palace at Knossos of this people group that was there in 2000 BC, I mean, they've got pots that are 4,000 years old there, huge pots. I don't know how they moved them, but the lessons come at you faster than you can process them. And so quite frankly, on the cruise ship, everything was so busy that I haven't been able to really process this until now. And in talking with you, it just pours forth. And so Chad Walden is here with us. Lauren Parrish is here with us. And we are, Chad is geeking out, man. This is, he's taking pictures and capturing video, and he's going to be able to help us tell the story. For our folks who can't be a part of a trip like this, it's not time for it right this minute. That's okay. We want to bring this information back. But I will say this, there's nothing like being here. There's nothing like being here. And one of my goals, for as long as the Lord allows me to be in ministry, is to get people to the Holy Land and to the footsteps of Paul, and to get to come and see the light bulb go off. It's just phenomenal. So I just want to encourage you. We'll be talking more about trips to come. Frankly, had Hamas and Iran not done their things, we would be talking about going to the Holy Land very, very soon. And we still, Lord willing, we'll get to do that very soon. But again, I've already had a lot of folks express interest in a footsteps of Paul trip in 2025. So we'll see. We're exploring the possibilities, and Lord willing, that may be an option in next year. So Jordan, I so appreciate you. I appreciate you and Tejan being willing to Tejon's our sound engineer and doing an awesome job in some difficult circumstances. But I appreciate you guys being flexible and allowing me to zoom in and doing the extra work that's required to make that happen. Appreciate Dr. Alex Watkins preaching the word of God. I got to listen to his sermon on the bus ride up this morning, and praise God for the wonderful message that he shared. And appreciate Pastor David and Ricky and all of our staff, TJ and everybody who's a part of our First Baptist team, Paige who stepped in for Chad, and just, we have such a wonderful team. And I'm so thankful for all of you and for the wonderful work that you do. So thanks for being you. I believe the Lord's brought us all to First Baptist Church for such a time as this, and may we be faithful. So let me pray for us. And I've got to go. It's almost dinner time here. It's 10 a.m. at your spot, but it's time to eat some dinner here. So I'm going to go get some good Greek food. But before then, let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the safety that you have provided our group as we have traveled. And we pray that you would continue to provide that safety. But Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, to transform us by the renewing of our minds, and to grow us. Lord, I'm thankful for the growth that happens in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and in the various places where the people who are hearing this, where they live, where they dwell, where they are. Lord, we pray that we would always be open to your movement in our hearts and minds, knowing that where we are is by your hand. You tell us through Paul on Mars Hill that you are the one who determines our boundaries, and you are the one who determines our seasons, that we might come to know you. So help us come to know you, Lord, and help us to be faithful. Help us to lift high the name of Jesus Christ. And as Christ is lifted up, may all people be drawn unto him. We pray these things, trusting you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our channel and submit a question to the link in our show notes. For even more First Baptist content, visit firstbaptistbg.org. Our engineer is Elliot Beckley, and our editors are Chadwick Walden and Tejon Bumpus.